But it's good to be here this morning, and it's brilliant, isn't it? God speaks to us through many ways, and then it's great when he verbally speaks to us this morning through the gift of tongues and interpretation as well, right into our hearts, isn't it? And it's brilliant that the Holy Spirit's with us this morning. Well, we're going to have a look at something this morning, and it starts with a bit of a thing about nature. Now, I was talking to a friend this week, I won't name her, but we were talking about chickens and eggs, all right? I'm not going to steal her thunder, but it was a good fact you gave me. I think she's a bit of an expert, but I can't say who it is, but you can find out yourself after. But I love nature. Do you love nature? And what I was seeking what to bring this week, the Lord dropped it into my heart. And when we were out for a walk yesterday in the country park, God confirmed it to me. And I'm going to show you something. I always got something to bring, haven't I? I can't do the PowerPoint. Well, I can do PowerPoint, but I like to bring real things as well. So anybody know what a sonata is? A sonata. It's not a tomato. It's a sonata. Well, I'll show you now. Those. Anybody know what they are? Sycamore. Well done. So sycamore seeds, but they're also known as sonatas. Do you know that? No, they are. Absolutely amazing. They come in pairs. They're free. They come in pairs. Absolutely incredible design. And you can see they start to go brown and dry out. The seed is on the end. I don't know if everybody can see it. And there's an incredible wing shape here. When I was little, you know what I call them? Helicopters. Everybody's going, yes, helicopters. Watch this now. These are an incredible design. Oh, I'm not allowed to move, Dave, am I? Because the camera. I'm okay. Is that all right for that, Dave?
Right.
So watch this now. Oh. I think I broke it. There we go. Look at that. Look at that. I'll do some more. I'll pick them up after, honestly. I could do this all day. Wow, look at that. Absolutely amazing. One more? Yeah, go on. Wow. Thank you, thank you. Sycamore seeds, sonata as they're called. Absolutely incredible design. You know, I don't believe in evolution. I'll tell you that now. I believe in creation. And when I was reading about these, somebody had said they're the masterpiece of aerodynamics in nature. And I thought, no way. There's no such thing as Mother Nature. God is the creator, isn't he? I'm an engineer as well. And I look at things and I think, wow. They've even started trying to make uni-wing helicopters following these designs. Biomimicry, they call it in engineering these days. Absolutely amazing. And what's interesting about these, when they spin, obviously the idea is to get the seed as far away from the parent plant and to plant it there when the wind blows and everything. But what these do is that spinning motion, I'm dying to do it again, that spinning motion creates like a vortex. You know, like a tornado, I don't know, whatever you call it. And that actually, if you're into aerodynamics, produces lift. You know, there's lift and drag that help aeroplanes take off. And what that does, this is amazing. It gives this seed twice as much lift as normal seeds. So it takes it even further. So as the wind's blowing, and it does that, it takes it twice as far because it's creating a vortex as well. Isn't that, what a design, you know? And I know the person who designed that, God. Absolutely incredible. And the more you look at things like that, it points to God, doesn't it? Absolutely. That's not an accident. No way. An incredible design of aerodynamics there. That's God. And we're going to look at sycamore seeds today. Well, actually in the Bible, we're going to look at Luke chapter 19. Anybody guess what the story's about? Zacchaeus, that's it, yeah. But actually the sycamore, that's a tree that's in Britain. But the sycamore tree in the Bible is a sycamore fig, it was called. So it's a slightly different tree. But it just spoke to me. When I saw that yesterday, I thought, Lord, thank you for your confirmation. And I went and got them and I said, that's it. I got that for tomorrow. If you want to have a go after, you're welcome to. But you've got to pick them up on mine. So we're looking at Luke chapter 19. And it's about Jesus. And he was on his way to Jerusalem. And he entered through Jericho, which was like a stop-off point in those days. And we're going to look at it together. So it's Luke chapter 19 and verse 1. And it says, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. Now, we've all heard of Jericho. Remember the walls of Jericho with Joshua, and when they went into the promised land, that was the first city they came across, and they had to go around 7 days. Do you remember? And on the seventh day, the walls fell down with the children of Israel, and they took over that city. But it lay in ruins for a long, long time. That was about 1300 BC. But by Jesus' time, it had been rebuilt, and the city was this sort of hub of trade in a tree sap resin called balsam. Anybody heard of that? Yeah, it's actually in a lot of, like, I used to be using a lot of medicines. When I was a little boy, my father used to give me this medicine. I don't know if you remember, Auntie Lydia, Balm of Gilead. It was like a medicine, a cough. There are other ones available. But I don't know if it was in that, but it was taken from words in the Bible, a balm of Gilead, which apparently had balsam in it. And it's used for fragrances and things like frankincense and perfumes and things like that. So it was a wealthy place. And a lot of people used to stop off there on the way. So Jesus was passing through and he stopped in Jericho. Excuse me. And here in verse 2, we meet the character we're going to look at today. And if you want a title for this message, is The Sycamore Seeker Meets the Soul Seeker. That's my message. And that's what the Lord dropped into my heart. The Sycamore Seeker Meets the Soul Seeker. And there was a guy there, it says, a man there was named Zacchaeus. And I looked up Zacchaeus. Do you know what it means? Poor and innocent. That's what the name means. But I think he was anything but that in real life. But he became that through Jesus. And it says that Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. Now, a couple of things you need to know about tax collectors in those days. They were Jewish people who worked for the occupying army, the Roman Empire. So number one, they weren't liked at all. They were collecting people's money, Jewish people's money, to give to Caesar, to give to the Roman Emperor. So anybody working for them was hated. Number one, what are they doing that for? They're working for the army that's oppressing us and the occupiers. So that was one reason why they weren't liked. The second reason was they were a bit of a law unto themselves. They could actually get the money for Rome. And then if you hadn't paid, they could prosecute you, charge you exorbitant interest rates, rip you off basically, and take that money. And that money wasn't going to Rome. It was going in their pockets. And it says that Zacchaeus was a wealthy man. So I imagine, as he was the chief tax collector, he was good and practiced at this, and he'd worked his way up. And he must have been corrupt because he was a wealthy man taking all this money in. So Rome was having their cut, and Zacchaeus was having his cut of that money. And I wondered, why on earth? This is what I thought. Why on earth would you do that? You must have known that the people would hate you, your family would hate you for doing that. But I think if I was in his mindset, he didn't care about that because he had one motivation, wealth, money. That was his God. He didn't care what people said about him. He didn't care what he did to people. He was chasing that goal of wealth. That's what came over to me. He was cruel to people. He didn't care. It was all about me, 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 me. And that spoke to me today. I don't know if you hear today. What motivates you in your life? And the other question is, at what cost? You know, I bet he was ostracized from his family and everything because of that motivation. But something changed. You know, sometimes we say, is it not a phrase, isn't it? People who don't care, they must have a heart like a swinging brick. I don't know if you've ever heard that one. Or a heart of ice. But his heart was beginning to thaw. And if we look at verse 3, it says this. He wanted to see who Jesus was. Why on earth would this guy, who was just all about himself and money, want to see Jesus? Well, I wonder, obviously, he was in Jericho, and Jesus was on his way to Jericho, and maybe he'd heard about him. Now, we know one of Jesus' disciples, Matthew, wasn't he also known as Levi? What was his job? He was a tax collector. So he must have thought, I remember that guy, Matthew. Why is he going with that guy, Jesus, that rabbi Jesus? Why is he going with him? His life has completely changed. There must be something in this. You know, they probably all worked together, tax collectors. If he was the chief of them, he was the boss, wasn't he? And he'd know what was going on. And there was something there that was niggling at his heart. Also, as well, obviously they didn't have all your social media these days, but word of mouth went about quickly. He knew Jesus was coming and he wanted to see who he was. And on the way to Jericho, on his way to Jericho and Jesus was going to Jerusalem, Jesus had healed 10 lepers. Now that news would have been like wildfire, wouldn't it? These people who had this horrendous disease were healed by this guy Jesus. What's that all about? He may have heard the stories about Jesus had said just before, if you look at the earlier chapters, about the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. And they both went to pray, and the Pharisee said, "Thank goodness, Lord, I'm not like that guy. Oof, he's a sinner. I can't bear to be with this kind." And the tax collector was there in the temple and said, "Lord, forgive me, I'm a sinner. You know, have mercy on me." And, you know, the Bible says that Jesus says, who do you think God listened to? The sinner. He didn't listen to the guy who was proud and thought he was better than everybody else. Maybe he heard that story and thought, what's that all about? Jesus is on, and God's on the side of sinners. What's that all about? And also, he might have heard of the story just before this, just on the outskirts of the town. There was a blind guy who was begging, and Jesus had healed him, and he could see. And this guy was jumping up and down and dancing and shouting and everything. I can imagine that story had filtered back as well. So he was really keen. What's this Jesus? Who is this Jesus? I've got to go and see him. Something was happening in his mind and in his heart, the things he was hearing about Jesus. And I wonder this morning, have you heard and seen about what Jesus has done in people's lives? Maybe you've come here today and you don't know Jesus. I don't know everybody. Maybe you've come here for years and you don't know Jesus. I hope not, but who knows? But you know, maybe there's something ice in your heart is starting to crack this morning, starting to thaw out. Or maybe thinking, I want to find out more about Jesus, like Zacchaeus did. I want to have a real relationship with him, not just the head knowledge. And well, you're in the right place today. Because God works, word speaks right into our hearts, doesn't he? And God can change our hearts. Verse 3 says this. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but he was only short. So he was a small guy. Okay, I'm nearly 6 foot. That's the joke in my family. My children are bigger than me now. But there you are. I'm 5 foot 12 and a half. What is it? 5'11 and a half. I keep getting reminded all the time. I'm just that short of 6 foot. But never mind. But Zacchaeus was small. And obviously when Jesus was going into the city, there was this huge crowd around him. And he's thinking, I can't see. You can imagine him doing this. How am I going to see Jesus? Get out the way. I can't see Jesus. He couldn't see over the crowd. And again, that spoke to me. Is there something blocking you seeing Jesus in your life? Is there something, is it all about you? Is it about things that have happened? Is it hurts in the past? Is there issues in your life? Have somebody, maybe a Christian, been not very nice to you or something and put you off altogether? Who knows? I don't know. But is there something blocking you seeing Jesus? You know, the biggest thing in our lives that blocks us seeing Jesus is sin. And we need to find out about Jesus and ask him to forgive us of those sins in our lives. That's the biggest stumbling block to all of us. You know, I was a child, I've said that many times, when I realized I'd sinned and I needed Jesus. And that day when I asked Jesus into my heart, 8 years old, I saw him clearly in my life and he came into my life. So don't let things block your encounter with Jesus in your life. And it says then, he couldn't see over the cloud. So he ran ahead and he climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. So he thought, right, I know he's going down that street there. If I take that side street there, run around the corner, there's some trees there, I've seen them. I've seen these sycamore fig trees. I'm going to climb up one of those. There's nobody going to stop me seeing Jesus. The interesting thing was, it was for a Jewish man in those days, it was really unrefined, not respectable, number one, to run about in crowds, and number two, to climb trees. That was for kids. And he was like, ooh, you shouldn't be doing that. That's really, but you know, Zacchaeus didn't care. His heart just wanted to see Jesus. I'm getting there. I don't care if I look like a fool. I want to go and see Jesus, who this man Jesus is. So that's what he did. He ran, went ahead of the crowd, worked out where Jesus was going to be walking past, climbed up this sycamore tree, and he waited for him. And that spoke to me two ways. First of all, are there things in our heart blocking us from seeing Jesus, as I said earlier, but things that might hinder us as well, that Zacchaeus put aside, his pride. We could be really, really proud. We could be self-righteous. I remember years ago, and it hurt my heart, that's why I remember, going to a speaking in a church, and I remember saying, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's what the Bible says, doesn't it? And I heard a woman say to a friend, I haven't sinned, I've only said white lies. And I thought, wow, that really struck in my heart, thinking, all those years you've listened about Jesus, and your pride is stopping you coming to know him. I don't know what that lady decided to do, but you know, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. So don't let your own pride, your own self-righteousness, you may have come to church for years, that doesn't make you a Christian. Knowing Jesus in your heart makes you a Christian. Then you want to be part of the church, don't you? It's the other way around. But Zacchaeus didn't care about his own pride. He was up that tree, man, and he was waiting for the Lord Jesus. And can you imagine, he was hanging on there. People must have been laughing at him. Look, there's Zacchaeus up that tree. What an idiot. What's he doing up there? He didn't care. He just wanted to see Jesus. And it says, oh, sorry, something else that spoke to me. Sorry, I'm jumping on a little bit. I also thought that as Christians, we should be sycamore tree Christians. Sycamore tree Christians. And God dropped this into my heart yesterday evening. We should be there to enable people to see Jesus. That's our mission, isn't it? As Christians, not to block people's view of Jesus. Our mission is to be there to let them see the full glory of who Jesus is. And that's our mission. We were talking this week, me and Alan, and Alan said, we need to go and speak the word of God to people. And then they come to church with us and ask Jesus into their hearts. That's what we pray for, don't we? But we need to be there for people to allow them to see Jesus. I can't save people, but Jesus can. But I need to bring them to a place where they can spiritually see Jesus. So maybe when you see a sycamore tree, if you're a Christian this morning, and most of us are, is to lock that into our brains thinking, I want to be like that sycamore tree, allowing people who don't know him to see Jesus in his full glory. And then it says in verse 4, so he ran ahead, climbed the sycamore tree, since Jesus was coming that way. Verse 5, when Jesus reached the spot, this is incredible, he looked up and said to Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. I love that. All those big crowds around Jesus, all sort of bustling everywhere. You can imagine the pandemonium around there, isn't it? It's like having a royal visitor come into a town. There'd be huge crowds, but Jesus stops right at that very spot, looks up directly in Zacchaeus' eyes. Number one, he knows his name. And Zacchaeus, I would have fallen out the tree. But he knew his name. You know, I believe that was a word of wisdom through the Holy Spirit to Jesus. That guy's name is Zacchaeus. Call him down. Why did he look up there at that moment? Oh, it was a God moment, isn't it? He looked up and said, Zacchaeus, come down. Zacchaeus, who thought, I'm a sinner. You know, I'm ostracized by society. Jesus has just said my name and asked me to come down. And he wants to come to my house. And what I love this, he had a response to make there, Zacchaeus did. He could have then said, no, I'm not going down that tree. I'm just staying up here. No, thanks, Jesus. I'm staying up here. You don't want to be bothered with someone like me. I'm a tax collector. But it says that he came down that tree and it says he came down at once and welcomed Jesus gladly. Wow. His heart had just melted, didn't it? Jesus spoke right into that situation. Jesus cared about him, knew his name, knew everything about him, and just he melted Zacchaeus' heart. And Zacchaeus didn't say no. He just ran down that tree. Whoa, Jesus, come to my house. You can imagine the excitement. It says also in another translation, he was full of joy as well. So he was over the moon. Jesus, the guy everybody hates, Jesus just said my name. He's asked to come to my house. Wow, this is incredible. And he welcomed him gladly. You know, no matter who we are this morning, what you've done, Jesus knows everything about you. He knows your name. He knows more about you than you do. Do you know that? He knows every single thing about you. And there is no one who's not good enough for Jesus. There is no one who isn't loved by Jesus. Jesus came and died on that cross for the whosoever, whoever. God doesn't say, I like him and I don't like him, or I like her and I don't like her. Jesus loves us all because we were all sinners and he came and died for us and he loves us. And if that's you this morning and you don't know him, he's calling to you today. He's saying, so-and-so, I love you. I know you. I want to come and have a relationship with you. And that's what he did with Zacchaeus there. The sad thing is, verse 7 says, so this is an incredible moment. This horrible guy that nobody liked, Jesus is coming to his house, wants to come to his house. And all the crowd said, who were prejudiced against him, oh, Jesus is going with this horrible guy. That's the guy who just ripped me off for £20,000 or whatever. How on earth is Jesus doing that? And they all, it says, all the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. I am glad today that Jesus reached out to me, a sinner. Are you this morning? All of us have sinned, haven't we? And he reached out to every single one of us. As it said, John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, whatever we've done good, there's enough bad things thrown that away a million, billion times. But it's not about that. It's not if I'm good enough to be accepted by Jesus. It's what he's done on the cross, and he accepts me, and he's made me righteous through what he did in that cross. And Jesus wanted a relationship with Zacchaeus, and he didn't care what the crowd said about him. He was going to Zacchaeus' house. Or can you imagine the excitement when he went into Zacchaeus? I bet Zacchaeus was putting, get everything out, all the best stuff, where's my best food and everything? He was so delighted that Jesus wanted to bother with someone like him. And we've all been in that position, haven't we? Where Jesus, if we've asked him into our heart, has come into our hearts, and the joy that brings into our heart when we have a personal relationship with him. And the amazing thing is, you know, Zacchaeus' heart melted and he submitted his life to Jesus. How do I know that? Listen to these words. It says, verse 8, but Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord. That's important, isn't it? He didn't say, look, Jesus. He said, look, Lord. He'd recognized that Jesus was the Son of God. He recognized that he needed to give his heart to him, and he's calling him Lord. Incredible. And here's an amazing change, and the change is incredible in Zacchaeus. This guy who was great at ripping people off, sticking their money in his pockets, his heart had melted, and just being in the presence of God, it doesn't say Jesus said anything to him. You want to put all these things right, you've done, mate. Jesus never said anything like that. Zacchaeus says this, look, Lord, here and now, I give half my possessions to the poor. He was a wealthy guy. Half his money, gone. I'm giving it to the poor. And if I cheated anybody out of anything, which they would have done, I'll pay back four times the amount. That's basically Zacchaeus' bank account drained, gone. But he didn't care because he realized Jesus was all he needed in his life. That's what he wanted. And that change came through him, his heart breaking and opening and allowing the Savior to save him that day. What an amazing picture. Jesus makes a difference in our lives, doesn't he? He changes our priority. The thing that was Zacchaeus' God, gone. Get rid of it. And you know, if there's something in our hearts today that's our God instead of Jesus, get rid of it. Put it aside. It's not the thing that should be priority in our lives. But Jesus, number one in our lives. And Jesus says in verse 9, Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house. Zacchaeus is saved. You know, one day we'll meet, if you know the Lord Jesus, we'll meet him one day in heaven. Have you seen Zacchaeus? I told that sermon about you on that sycamore tree, and how Jesus was the one who was the focus of everything, and how you give your heart to him. Wouldn't that be brilliant? And it says, today, this man too is a son of Abraham. Jesus had welcomed him into God's family. What an incredible thing there. And the last verse, verse 10 in this particular section says this, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. I'll say it again. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. You know, in Isaiah, it says this, 53 verse 6, all of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We have left God's path to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. We were all lost, but Jesus found us, didn't he? Through what he did on the cross. But this morning, maybe you haven't realized that Jesus wants a personal relationship with you. Maybe you haven't realized that God is looking for you. He's seeking you. Jesus doesn't want anyone to perish in a lost eternity. He is seeking you out this morning. And he wants to show you his love and his forgiveness and mercy through what he did on that cross.